Welcome to ReadFlow Weekly. This is the show where we make sense of the week's most important stories in tech, business, and science. I'm your host. Sometimes, the past doesn't stay buried. This week, across a Europe scorched by record heat and wildfires, firefighters and emergency crews are facing a threat that's been dormant for generations. As the flames burn away the topsoil, they're uncovering rusted bombs and mines left over from the First and Second World Wars. These forgotten munitions are now detonating in the heat, creating a lethal, unpredictable danger on top of the existing crisis. It's a stark, physical reminder of how the consequences of our actions and inactions can resurface when we least expect them. You can find that story at ReadFlow. That theme of unintended consequences echoes through a week where the business of artificial intelligence is showing its strain. One of the most anticipated IPOs of the year is moving forward, but with a notable caveat. Sources say that when Anthropic files to go public, its documents will list the growing public and regulatory backlash against AI as a material risk factor. It's a formal admission from a top-tier AI company that the societal pushback they've helped generate could now threaten their own bottom line. Meanwhile, the sheer cost of this technological race is hammering profits elsewhere. Alibaba just reported a staggering 75% drop in net income, a plunge the company directly attributes to its massive spending on AI infrastructure. The gold rush is on, but the bills are coming due, and the landscape is shifting in real time. And shift it has, in a very literal, geographical sense. For the first time, the San Francisco Bay Area has been dethroned. It is no longer the largest tech talent market in the United States. That crown now belongs to New York City. It's a symbolic changing of the guard, a signal that the center of gravity for the industry that has defined the last two decades is moving. The implications for innovation, investment, and culture are profound. We'll dig into what that means. So, from bombs in the ashes to brains that stay younger, from bond market turmoil to brains in orbit, this is a week about reckoning with what we've built and preparing for what comes next. It's August 15th to 22nd, 2026. You're listening to ReadFlow Weekly. Let's get started. Welcome back. If you're just joining us, we started this week in the ashes of European wildfires, where firefighters are confronting a lethal legacy of the past. That theme of unintended consequences, of actions echoing across decades, is one we'll see again and again. This is ReadFlow Weekly for August 15th to 22nd, 2026. I'm your host, and here's where we're headed. In tech and AI, we're tracking a major shift in the industry's center of gravity. For the first time, New York has dethroned the San Francisco Bay Area as the nation's largest tech talent market. We'll look at what that means for the AI boom's epicenter. Meanwhile, the business of artificial intelligence is hitting a sobering milestone and a stark warning. As Anthropic prepares its IPO filing, sources say it will explicitly cite AI backlash as a material risk. And the cost of this arms race is showing up on balance sheets, with Alibaba's profits plunging due to heavy AI spending. The infrastructure race isn't just terrestrial anymore. We'll go orbital with a startup called StarCloud, which just raised $250 million to build AI inference satellites. And down here on the ground, the browser wars are heating up with Firefox rolling out a free VPN and a new search engine on mobile. In business, trade tensions are escalating dramatically. The US and Canada have failed to reach a tariff deal, deepening a trade war between the long-standing allies. And in financial markets, stress is meeting political pressure, with former President Trump floating the extraordinary idea of a military intervention in bond markets as Treasury yields soar. Analysts are pointing to a potential crisis ratio in the cascade that could follow. Our science coverage this week spans from the microscopic to the cosmic. We have new frontiers in medicine, including an FDA authorization for a first-of-its-kind robotic blood draw device. And new cognitive research suggests multilingual people may have brains that appear up to 13 years younger. But we're also rewriting cosmic history. The James Webb Space Telescope has found that early galaxies may be far more massive than we ever thought, forcing a rethink of the universe's infancy. And we'll close with a lighter note on a generational shift, looking at new research that finds nearly half of all travelers now visit sites mainly to capture content for social media, with TikTok overtaking friends and family as the top travel inspiration for Gen Z. That's our roadmap. From bombs in the ashes to brains in orbit and the new tech capital, let's get into the week. Welcome to the main act. This week in technology and artificial intelligence, we are watching a fundamental shift in where the industry lives, a sobering moment for the business of building intelligence, a race for the ultimate high ground, and a quiet battle for the soul of the internet you use every day. Let's get into it. First, a changing of the guard. For the first time, New York City has dethroned the San Francisco Bay Area as the largest tech talent market in the United States. This isn't just a statistical blip. It's the culmination of a long migration, accelerated by remote work, the diversification of tech beyond pure software, and frankly, the quality of life calculus for a generation of workers. The Bay Area remains the undisputed epicenter of the artificial intelligence boom, home to giants from Apple to Nvidia. But the center of mass for the broader tech workforce has officially moved east. Why does this matter? It signals a maturation and a dispersion of the industry. Tech is no longer a monoculture centered on a single strip of California coastline. It's a multifaceted engine embedded in finance, media, fashion, and logistics. New York's ascendance reflects that. The win isn't just about headcount. It's about influence, venture capital flow, and where the next wave of companies will be born. Who wins? New York's broader economy, certainly, and cities that have successfully built their own tech identities. Who loses? The Bay Area's unquestioned hegemony. It now has to compete in a way it hasn't in decades. What to watch next is whether AI, which is still heavily concentrated in the Bay, follows the talent, or if we see a new kind of bifurcation, AI research and foundational model development in the West, with commercialization and application spreading everywhere else. Which brings us perfectly to our second arc, the business of AI hitting both a milestone and a stark warning. The milestone is Anthropic's impending IPO filing. This is a landmark moment for the AI giant killer, the company built around constitutional AI. But the warning is right there in the paperwork. Sources say the filing will explicitly cite AI backlash, public and regulatory skepticism, as a material risk factor. Think about that. A company whose entire product is advanced intelligence is telling potential investors that societal distrust of that very intelligence is a threat to its bottom line. You can read more on that pivotal disclosure in our coverage of the Anthropic IPO filing. And at the exact same time, on the other side of the Pacific, we saw a brutal demonstration of the other side of the AI risk ledger, the staggering cost of the race. Alibaba reported a 75% plunge in net income. The primary driver? A 75% surge in capital expenditure, to about $10 billion, overwhelmingly for AI infrastructure. This isn't a dip, this is a cliff. It shows that even for a tech titan, the burn rate for staying competitive in AI is potentially ruinous. The market punished the stock immediately. So, in 1 week, we have the AI industry's coming out party on Wall Street whispering, beware of public opinion, and a veteran tech powerhouse showing that the ticket to the party can bankrupt you. The connection is clear. The gold rush is astronomically expensive, and the social license to operate is not guaranteed. Who wins? The companies with the deepest pockets and the most patient investors. Who loses? Everyone else trying to keep up, and potentially, the shareholders of companies like Alibaba if these investments don't yield returns fast enough. What to watch is whether this double-barreled news, the Anthropic warning and the Alibaba profit plunge, cools the manic investment fever, or if it's just seen as the cost of doing business in the most important technological shift of our time. And where is all that compute-hungry AI infrastructure going? Well, in our third arc, it's aiming for orbit. The infrastructure race has officially gone exo-atmospheric. A startup called StarCloud has raised a massive $250 million extension to its funding round, valuing the company at $2.3 billion. Their mission? To build data centers in space. Specifically, satellites that can perform AI inference, the part where a trained model makes a prediction or generates text, directly in orbit. The rationale is latency and autonomy. For applications like global environmental monitoring, real-time satellite imagery analysis, or secure communications, beaming data down to Earth for processing and then back up takes precious time. Doing it in space slashes that delay. But there's a catch, and it's a big one. The report notes that launch options are drying up. The very rockets needed to get these silicon brains into space are in critically short supply. So StarCloud is sitting on a war chest, betting it can secure scarce launch slots before its competitors. This matters because it represents the next logical frontier for cloud computing, the literal cloudless sky of low Earth orbit. It's about moving the compute to where the data is generated, at a planetary scale. Who wins? Companies that master orbital logistics and radiation-hardened computing. Who loses? Terrestrial-only data center operators in the long term, if this takes off. What to watch is whether this becomes a viable niche or the next great bubble. The technical hurdles are immense, but the potential to enable a new layer of real-time, intelligent Earth observation is profound. Finally, let's bring it back down to Earth and to the device in your hand. Our fourth arc is about the quiet, persistent battles over the Internet's foundations, your browser and the protocols that feed it. Firefox, the perennial underdog, is rolling out a significant update on mobile. It now includes a free, built-in VPN and a new default search engine called Startpage. This is a direct shot across the bow of giants like Google Chrome. It's a package deal focused on privacy and user choice. Why does a browser update matter? Because the browser is the gateway. It sees everything you do. Who controls that gateway controls data, advertising, and the direction of web standards. Firefox, backed by the nonprofit Mozilla, is the only major counterweight to the Chromium engine that powers Chrome, Edge, and Safari. Every feature it adds that prioritizes user privacy over data harvesting pressures the entire ecosystem. A free VPN bundled in is a powerful tool for mainstream users who would never seek one out otherwise. And speaking of protocols, there was notable progress on a key piece of AI infrastructure. The Model Context Protocol, or MCP, published a new roadmap. In simple terms, MCP is a standardized way for AI assistants like ChatGPT to securely connect to your personal data sources, your Google Drive, your Notion, your company's database, without the data being used to train the model. It's about making AI useful and personal without being intrusive. A clear roadmap means this crucial protocol is moving from theory toward widespread adoption. So, in this arc, we have a battle for the front door of the web and a project to build a safe backdoor for your data into AI. Both are about agency. Who wins if these trends continue? Users who want more control and privacy. A more competitive, less homogenized web. Who loses? The business models built on pervasive, unquestioned data collection. What to watch is whether Firefox can convert these features into meaningful market share gains, and whether big AI players fully embrace protocols like MCP, or try to lock users into their own walled gardens. You can find the details on Firefox's new mobile features in our look at the latest update. So, to tie our four arcs together, the geography of tech is decentralizing, even as its ambitions shoot for the stars. The business case for AI is facing the hard realities of cost and public trust. And the tools we use every day are being reshaped by old battles over privacy and new standards for interoperability. It's a map of an industry in rapid, simultaneous flux, spreading out, looking up, checking its finances, and rewiring its foundations. Welcome to the Business Roundup, where the numbers meet the noise, and this week, the noise is a deafening mix of clashing tariffs, political pressure cookers, and the high-stakes poker of media consolidation. If the tech world is busy building the future, the business world this week is grappling with the very real, very present friction of managing a global system under immense strain. We're seeing stress fractures in long-standing alliances, unprecedented political pressure on financial markets, and a media merger that's become a legal and public relations minefield. It's a portrait of an economic landscape where the old rules feel increasingly unstable. Let's start with a significant fracture in one of the world's most important trade relationships. The United States and Canada have failed to reach a deal, and as of this past Saturday, new American tariffs of 50% are now in effect on a range of Canadian goods. This isn't a minor skirmish. It's the deepening of a trade war between two allies whose economies are deeply intertwined, with nearly $2 billion in goods crossing their border every single day. The failure of these talks, detailed in our coverage, sends a chilling signal about the state of international cooperation. It means higher costs for consumers and manufacturers, new supply chain snarls, and a political climate where economic tools are wielded not just for policy but as instruments of broader diplomatic tension. The stakes here extend far beyond the immediate cost of goods. For businesses operating across that northern border, the calculation for everything from auto parts and aluminum to agricultural products just got a lot more complicated, forcing a reconsideration of long-held supply chain strategies. This breakdown follows a statement from Canadian Prime Minister Carney, who suspended the talks, highlighting a fundamental disagreement on approach. You can read that statement in our article. This isn't merely an economic dispute. It's a symptom of a broader shift away from multilateralism towards a more transactional, and often more volatile, model of international trade. When even a partnership as deeply linked as the US and Canada hits this kind of wall, it raises questions about the resilience of the entire global trading system. And speaking of political climate meeting financial markets, we witnessed a truly extraordinary moment this week. With Treasury bond yields soaring, reflecting investor anxiety about inflation and debt, former and possibly future President Donald Trump floated the idea of a military intervention to help control the market. Now, the specifics here are, to put it mildly, unconventional, and the practical mechanics of such an idea are utterly unclear. But the mere suggestion from a major political figure is a seismic event for market sentiment. It speaks to a level of political stress and a search for drastic, unconventional solutions that has Wall Street analysts and economists reaching for new models to understand the potential breaking points. In fact, some are pointing to something called the crisis ratio, a bond market cascade model that attempts to mathematically map the dangerous feedback loop where rising government debt service costs, stagnant or falling tax revenues, and ever higher borrowing rates could create a self-reinforcing spiral. You can find a deep dive into that ominous concept in our story on the crisis ratio. Whether or not you subscribe to that specific model, the fact that serious people are developing and discussing these kinds of frameworks tells you everything you need to know about the jittery, high-stakes environment dominating finance right now. It's a world where geopolitical rhetoric and policy uncertainty are no longer background noise but primary drivers, capable of sending shockwaves through the bedrock of the global financial system. The line between the political arena and the trading floor has never seemed thinner or more charged. Now, let's shift from the macro to the mega merger, where a different kind of high-stakes drama is unfolding. The long-running saga of Paramount's potential acquisition by Warner Bros. Discovery is entering a new, even more tangled phase. This isn't just a business deal anymore. It's a multi-front corporate war. On the legal front, Paramount representatives are expected to meet with the California Attorney General's office to discuss a possible settlement of the antitrust lawsuit that's blocking the deal. Simultaneously, as covered in our report, a new nonprofit has launched a text campaign to pressure that same AG to drop the challenge, a move critics are immediately calling corporate astroturfing, an attempt to manufacture grassroots support. And if that weren't enough internal drama, a former top Paramount executive is now suing the company, alleging breach of contract and age discrimination. This adds a layer of personal litigation and reputational risk to an already fraught process. Every other media and tech conglomerate is watching this play out intently. The outcome will set a critical precedent for how much consolidation regulators will allow in a traditional industry that is desperately trying to achieve the scale needed to compete with vertically integrated tech giants. It's a messy, public, and incredibly expensive chess game where the future of content creation, distribution, and employment for thousands is on the line. The path to survival for these legacy companies is fraught with legal peril and public scrutiny. So what's the throughline connecting a North American trade war, talk of military intervention in bond markets, and the bitterly contested media merger? In trade, in finance, in media, we're watching established systems and decades-old relationships being tested too, and perhaps beyond, their breaking points. The comfortable post-war alliances and norms are fraying, replaced by tariffs, tough talk, and a willingness to entertain radical ideas. The traditional separation between political rhetoric and market stability is blurring into something more unpredictable. And the old guard of industry, seeking strength in unity through consolidation, is running headlong into a new era of aggressive antitrust scrutiny and activist legal challenges. These are not isolated incidents. They are the growing pains of a global economy and a domestic political environment in profound transition. The business of the world, it turns out, is navigating a week full of unintended consequences and shifting centers of gravity, where every move carries significant risk and the rulebook is being rewritten in real time. The search for stability, whether in supply chains, interest rates, or corporate boardrooms, feels more complex and elusive than ever. Welcome to the Science Roundup, where curiosity meets consequence. And this week, the stories stretch from the ashes at our feet to the ancient light at the edge of our vision. We're seeing how climate change is unearthing literal explosives from the past, how medical devices are taking a precise step into the future, and how the very fabric of the early universe might be heavier than we ever imagined. Let's get into it. First, to Europe, where firefighters are battling a dual threat. As we noted at the top of the show, wildfires are scorching the continent. But the immediate danger isn't just the flames. It's what the flames are revealing. The scorched earth is exposing a lethal legacy from the last century. Rusted bombs and mines from the First and Second World Wars, long buried and forgotten, are now being uncovered by the intense heat and the removal of vegetation. This creates a horrific secondary hazard for emergency crews, turning a natural disaster response into a potential minefield. It's a stark, physical example of how the past is never truly buried, and how one crisis, like climate change driving more intense fires, can violently resurrect the unresolved dangers of another. You can find more on that in our coverage of the wildfires detonating forgotten bombs across Europe. And speaking of climate drivers operating on a global scale, scientists are watching an El Niño event that is, in their words, off the charts. This current El Niño is already reaching record-setting levels for this time of year and is expected to intensify further. These periodic warmings of the Pacific Ocean rearrange weather patterns worldwide, often bringing heavy rain and flooding to some regions and severe drought to others. An event this strong, so early, is a flashing red light for weather agencies and disaster planners. It suggests the coming months could see extreme weather events that strain existing models and preparedness. It's a reminder that the climate system has its own powerful rhythms, and when they sync up with the broader trend of global warming, the results can be record-shattering. Now, from global systems to the very personal system of your circulatory system. In a quiet but significant milestone for medical robotics, the US Food and Drug Administration has authorized the first standalone robotic device that can draw blood from a patient's arm without hands-on operator intervention. The device, called a letter, uses imaging technology to locate a suitable vein and performs the draw automatically. For anyone who's ever been a hard stick, or for clinics facing phlebotomist shortages, this isn't just a novelty. It promises more consistent, potentially less painful procedures and could free up skilled staff for more complex tasks. It's a step toward a future where routine, precise physical interactions are reliably handled by machines, changing the experience of basic healthcare. And while we're on the subject of the human body's inner workings, some fascinating cognitive research presented this week suggests a powerful benefit of multilingualism. New findings indicate that people who speak more than one language may have brains that appear up to 13 years younger than expected for their age. The theory is that the constant mental juggling and switching between languages acts as a form of cognitive exercise, building a kind of neural reserve that helps the brain maintain its structure and function over time. It's not about preventing decline outright, but about resilience. It frames language learning not just as a cultural or professional tool, but as a potential long-term investment in your own cognitive health. Sticking with biology, but on a much smaller scale, there's intriguing mouse research from Dublin on cancer-fighting immunity. Scientists found that a yeast-based dietary supplement appeared to strengthen specific immune cells involved in fighting tumors in obese laboratory mice. The key detail here is the metabolic context of obesity, which often creates a suppressed immune environment. The idea that a dietary component could help recalibrate that environment is a compelling avenue for further study. It's early mouse model research, so temper expectations, but it points toward a future where oncology might consider the microbiome and specific nutrients as adjuvants to traditional therapies. Finally, let's rewind the clock not by decades, but by billions of years. The James Webb Space Telescope is once again forcing us to rewrite the early chapters of cosmic history. New analysis shows that some of the largest galaxies in the early universe may have been up to 4 times more massive than previously thought. The reason? Astronomers found these ancient galaxies contained a hidden population of countless small, faint stars that earlier telescopes simply couldn't see. This means the universe might have assembled these gigantic structures, these cosmic cities, much faster and earlier than our theories predicted. Every time Webb peers deeper into the infrared, it doesn't just show us new things. It shows us that what we thought we knew was incomplete. For a deeper look at how Webb is rewriting the mass of early galaxies, we've got you covered. And in a different kind of historical discovery, archaeologists in Florida have uncovered a mysterious, 400-year-old indigenous pot. Shaped by hand, small enough to fit in a palm, its simple, undecorated design offers no clear clue to its original purpose. It's a humble, intimate object that survived centuries, a tangible connection to a Potano-Timucua tribe member from a time of immense change. In science, we often look for the grand, the massive, the explosive. But sometimes, the most profound mystery is a small, silent pot, waiting patiently in the earth to tell us it was here. Welcome to The Thread, the part of the show where we step back from the week's headlines to look for the pattern in the noise. And this week, two powerful themes bind our stories together, from the ashes of European forests to the bond markets and the orbital data centers. We're seeing the law of unintended consequences play out in real time, and we're watching centers of gravity, in every sense of the phrase, decisively shift. Let's start with unintended consequences, because this week delivered a masterclass. Consider the European wildfires, a direct consequence of our changing climate. The immediate tragedy is the scorched earth and displaced communities. But the fires also acted as a brutal archaeological dig, exposing forgotten World War bombs that now threaten emergency crews. It's a stark, physical metaphor. The crises we create today have a way of unearthing the unresolved dangers of the past. You can find that story at ReadFlow. That theme of hidden fallout echoes in the business of artificial intelligence. The industry is surging ahead, but the financial and social costs are coming due in unexpected ways. Look at Alibaba, where massive spending on AI infrastructure drove a staggering 75% drop in net income. The pursuit of future dominance is cannibalizing present profits. And then there's Anthropic, preparing for its public market debut. In its IPO filing, the company is reportedly forced to list the growing public and regulatory backlash against AI as a material risk factor. The very technology they're selling is generating a counterforce that could limit its growth. The ambition creates its own obstacle. And for a truly surreal example, look at the bond market. As Treasury yields soar, creating stress across the financial system, we saw a former president float the idea of a military intervention to calm the markets. It's an almost unimaginable unintended consequence of political rhetoric meeting economic fragility, where a tool of last resort for national security is suggested as a fix for a problem of confidence and arithmetic. Each of these stories is about a primary action, climate change, an AI arms race, political pressure, triggering a secondary, often destabilizing, reaction we failed to fully anticipate. Which brings us to our second theme, shifting centers of gravity. We are not just dealing with side effects. We are witnessing fundamental reorientations of where power, talent, and even matter itself are concentrated. The most concrete example is in tech talent. This week, New York City officially dethroned the San Francisco Bay Area as the largest tech talent market in the United States. For decades, the gravitational center of the tech universe was Silicon Valley. That pull has weakened. The industry's mass is redistributing, creating a new epicenter on the opposite coast. It's a historic shift in the geography of innovation. But the gravity is shifting off the planet, too. Consider StarCloud raising $250 million to build AI inference satellites, data centers in orbit. The center of computational gravity is literally aiming for space, seeking an advantage in latency, global coverage, and perhaps sovereignty. Meanwhile, the James Webb Space Telescope is rewriting cosmic history, finding that early galaxies may be 4 times more massive than we thought. Our understanding of where the universe's literal mass was concentrated in its infancy is changing before our eyes. And back on Earth, the center of gravity in global trade is shuddering. The failure of the US and Canada to reach a tariff deal, deepening a trade war between the closest of allies, signals a breakdown of a stable, decades-old economic axis. The gravitational pull that held that partnership together is weakening, replaced by a new, more fractious and unpredictable force. So what's the thread? It's this: we are living through a period of profound recalibration. Our actions are rippling out with consequences we didn't map, from bombs in the ashes to backlash in IPO filings. And simultaneously, the old poles that organized our world, the definitive tech hub, the stable alliance, even our model of the early cosmos, are proving to be less fixed than we assumed. The ground is literally and figuratively moving. The challenge now is to build, invest, and understand with a humility toward the first, and a flexibility for the second. And finally, a lighter note to end on, because after a week of orbital data centers and bond market interventions, we could all use a little vacation. Or at least, we could use a story about how other people are taking them. New research reveals a fascinating generational shift in why we travel and what we're looking for when we get there. The study, from TUI Musement, found that 4 in 10 travelers now admit they visit tourist sites primarily to capture content for social media. It's the modern version of the postcard, I suppose, but with instant global distribution and an algorithm deciding who sees it. The motivation is even more pronounced when you look at the sources of inspiration. For Gen Z, TikTok is now the leading source of travel ideas, cited by 48%, which actually beats out recommendations from family and friends. It reflects the complete dominance of visual, short-form video in shaping desires for this generation. The itinerary is no longer just in a guidebook, it's scrolling past you at 60 frames per second. It connects, in a way, to our earlier story about the mysterious 400-year-old indigenous pot found in Florida. That artifact's original purpose is unknown. Was it practical, ceremonial, personal? Today, we create our own artifacts instantly, photos, reels, stories, and their primary purpose is often clear: communication and connection. We are, in a sense, curating our own museums in real time, for an audience of followers. It's a new kind of exploration, driven by a very old human impulse, to share what we've found. That brings us to the end of this edition of ReadFlow Weekly. From bombs in the ashes to brains in orbit, it's been a week that reminds us progress is never a straight line, and the future often arrives with a few surprises tucked in its pockets. Thank you so much for spending part of your Saturday with us. If a story piqued your curiosity, like the potential for younger appearing multilingual brains or the high-stakes infrastructure race behind StarCloud's orbital data centers, you can dive deeper on ReadFlow. Save any article for later with a single click. Our show is built from the stories you save and share, so keep reading. We'll be back next Saturday to connect the dots again. Until then, take care.